Welcome to the Wrestling with Success podcast. In this show, you'll learn how to use lessons used in sports so you can use failure as your secret weapon for success and succeed in the real world. Here's your host, former Division I All-American wrestler, former Division I head coach, husband, father, adventure seeker, and entrepreneur, Jim Harshaw.
Welcome to episode 37 of Wrestling with Success, formerly known as Wrestling with Greatness. Today, I bring you Satyen Raja.
Before I introduce my guest, I want to tell you about an ebook that I wrote recently. Ever since episode number one, I've talked about the benefits of my mastermind group. In fact, one member of my mastermind had been paying an executive coach $2,000 a month, and in his opinion, it was money well spent. However, after a few months of being part of my mastermind, he quit the executive coach because he was getting more value in our mastermind meetings than with the executive coach. That's more than $24,000 a year of value that he was getting by being part of my mastermind. And I've had inquiries from many of my listeners and even several guests on how they can start a mastermind of their own. And that's why I wrote this ebook. Now you can learn exactly how I run my private mastermind and how to start your own mastermind by downloading my ebook titled Mastermind, the quick and easy guide to starting your own mastermind in 30 days or less. Just visit jimharshaw.net/mastermind to download your free copy today. That's jimharshaw.net/mastermind. You know, I've been doing these shows for about 9 months now. And as I've mentioned in a few episodes, I have four children, two sons, two daughters. Both of my sons wrestle. My oldest daughter, she's six. She's in gymnastics and dance. My youngest daughter is just 2 years old, so she hasn't really reached that age where she can participate in sports or other activities yet. And my beautiful wife, Allie, wasn't an athlete in traditional terms, but she was trained in classical ballet. As I've conducted these interviews of mostly wrestlers over the past 9 months or so, I've come to understand that wrestling has a deeper impact on me than I've ever really realized before. It's a special sport. And we as wrestlers, we bond with each other because we know what each other's gone through just to get through a practice or a match in our sport. It's tough. I've also realized that by watching my children play other sports, learning to play instruments, and engage in other activities like Cub Scouts or dance or whatever, that life lessons can be learned through not just wrestling, but other activities, of course, as well. And it's important for us and all people to realize that everyone is able to become a better person because of their activity of choice. And to be, you know, to be successful at anything, you have to practice when you don't feel like it. You have to endure, you know, oftentimes physical and mental discomfort. And you have to learn to fail and get back up and try again. So with that said, I am going to be evolving this podcast in the coming weeks. I'm going to start bringing on guests who can share stories of success through their struggle, you know, achievement through adversity, fortune from failure. Many of them are going to be former wrestlers. Others are not. Others are going to be just former athletes with a similar mindset as us. But by broadening our view of the world and how lessons can be learned, we give ourselves the best chance at success. So you'll start to notice some changes here in the coming weeks. You're going to see a new name for the podcast. It's going to be called Wrestling with Success. Small change, but you know, not everybody can relate to greatness. But we all want success, and greatness is really just a subset of success. So small change there. Another change you're going to see is my new tagline, revealing failure as the path to success. You know, as wrestlers, failure is inevitable. Even Kale Sanderson lost wrestling matches. You know, when you were a wrestler, losing hurt, but because you had a coach to guide you, you had a team to lift you up, you had goals that drove you in clear values to live by, then you were able to learn and improve from failure. Failure was a necessary step on your path to success. That's not always the case in the real world, though, because we don't have a coach. We don't have teammates or goals or these clear goals or values like we did when we were competing. So as a result, failure causes most people to lose confidence and lower their goals, give up on their dreams. So I've discovered a means of recreating that structure in your life that brings you that clarity and that accountability that you had as an athlete. And when you have that structure in place, failure becomes an asset. just like it was when you were an athlete, just like it was when you were competing. You learn from failure. When you have the right people in place, the right processes in place, the right plan in place, you learn from failure. So with that said, I'm also going to be updating my about page to better reflect what this platform is all about. And I hope you'll take a minute, jump over there, read it. I think you'll be inspired. It's jimharshaw.net/about. And one final change you're going to see is I'm going to be migrating everything from jimharshaw.net over to jimharshawjr.com. It's a minor change, but I just like the sound of the .com better than the .net. Couldn't get jimharshaw.com, so there's some imposter out there trying to be me. But anyway, I'm going to move over to jimharshawjr.com. The combination of these changes, though small, they're going to help me bring you even more insight into the minds of successful people who, like you, they were competitors, and like you, they've failed. What won't change is my exploration of success through the lens of a former wrestler, regardless of the background of the guest. You know, of course, I'm going to have a heavy dose of former wrestlers on the show, but I'm going to have others as well. Like I said, it's been 9 months, 9 months of creating these shows, and I'm so grateful. Honestly, this is the truth. I'm just grateful to have had such a positive response to this show. So many loyal listeners. I appreciate you listening. Thank you for your feedback. Thank you for sharing this. So many people have shared this with their friends and told other people about it and shared it on social media. So if you've done that, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to follow my passion of helping you understand this blueprint for success. Now for today's show. Satyen is a kung fu master, and he's the founder of the Warrior Sage Group of Companies, which is a series of personal and professional development organizations, including the Accelerated Evolution Academy. He's invested over three decades into hands-on research and teaching about what makes great people tick, and that's what we're going to explore today. He's led workshops for tens of thousands of individuals internationally in the art of what he calls the art of true power. He leads professional trainings, hosts exotic retreats, and does private one-on-one mentoring with leading CEOs and high-profile individuals. Satyen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's an honor to be here, and I look forward to having fun with you.
Yeah, likewise. So what made you get into the field of personal development 30-some years ago?
Well, I saw Bruce Lee as a youngster, and I saw also the TV show with David Carradine called Kung Fu. And the martial arts, the brilliance of Bruce Lee, as well as the wisdom, the philosophy that was coming through the Kung Fu series, I was really attracted to that. So that was the starting place and also the backbone through all these years of my personal growth journey. Because, you know, martial arts and any type of challenge, you know, wrestling is a martial art. Any type of challenge, I feel, really exposes really our reality. Does our philosophy work or not? Do we get up when we fall down on the sixth time, or do we stay down? So martial arts to me, and anything having to do with the combative arts, is my backbone, because it's a place where we can test our reality. And so that's my inspiration, as always has been.
Yeah, you mentioned that any kind of challenge exposes us to this sort of, these life lessons that we need to learn of getting knocked down and getting back up. And I've actually evolved the podcast here a little bit just in recent weeks to encompass more than just wrestling. So martial arts is a perfect fit. Most of my listeners are wrestlers. I've got listeners who are have other backgrounds as well. But Satyen, can you talk a little bit about Kung Fu and you know, I guess a little bit about what specifically is it and how does it differ from other martial arts, and then also how you got involved in it?
Yeah, certainly. So the type of Kung Fu I did was more of a eclectic synthesis of what my teachers found really worked more so. And so it was less the traditional hand-me-down coming from the past. It was more, hey, what works? Let's keep refining it. In the spirit and the philosophy of Bruce Lee, let's keep absorbing what works and discard what doesn't. So that's the type of Kung Fu I learned. And over the years, I've continuously added to that. And now my main study is Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And actually wrestling as well is something that I've started as well. And I do this with my son, who's 17 and really into mixed martial arts. And I got to hand it off to you wrestlers. This was something that not too many people in martial arts respected until recently.
Yeah.
Knowing how powerful this is to knock a man down, bam, and hold him there, you know?
So. Yeah. Yeah. Especially with MMA, the way it is these days, so many wrestlers have been so successful. It's been pretty neat to watch the evolution and success of some of these guys that, I mean, guys that I wrestled with when I was in college and high school that have gone on to do huge things in the MMA world.
I think physical mastery, masculine challenge, the challenge of having someone who's trying to take you down, win, defeat you, put you under. I mean, wrestling has so many metaphors in it, you know, being pinned under and being held there as opposed to being on top and in control and in charge, you know? So for me, it's like the outside world is really a reflection of the inside world. So my capacity to stay forward thinking, my capacity to stay on my feet light, my ability to stay, get grounded when I need to, when there's adversity or any type of challenge, these are a direct reflection of, you know, mastering your body as well as your mind and your spirit.
Yeah, great point. So how do you do that? How do you take these lessons that you learn in martial arts, that you learn in wrestling, that you learn in athletics, that you learn, like you mentioned earlier, you said any kind of challenge sort of exposes you to these lessons. How do you take what you learn in combat, in competition, and translate those into real life? I mean, into the real world, into real world success.
Well, that's a great, great question. One of the things that I do before I go into any training class is I have an intention in my mind. I actually bring a journal, and in that journal, I write down one thing I'm going to let go of today. I'm going to not hold on so tightly today before I come into class and start training. So it could be a tension I have that day. It could be an argument. It could be a worry I have. What I do is I let one thing go before I step onto the mat. What that does, it clears my mind. It lets me be totally present, right there, focused on the job at hand. Then, when I've finished my class, I've put everything I've got into it. Then when I leave, when I've finished off, I pull out my journal again, and I write down, what's a lesson I learned in class today, in training, that I get to bring into real life? So for example, the other day I had an injury. I got a knee injury, and it was the strangest knee injury that happened to me. I'm on the mat and I'm not training. There's just some youngsters warming up and playing on the mat. I'm just starting to warm up, and out of the side, some guy fell onto me. He was just running and he tripped, and the way he landed twisted my knee. And I'm like, what's the lesson in this? I hurt my knee and I haven't even started training. You
know? Right.
You know? So needless to say, I was bummed for the first few minutes, and then I had to go in. And I went, you know what? What I was leaving behind that day was anger and blame. I was feeling anger and blaming this person. And I had to face that on the mat, because all of a sudden I'm angry at this guy and blaming him because, you know, he was this negligent moment. And here's my knee. But then I had to say, what am I going to take home from this? How am I going to apply this in my life? And so what came to me on the inside was very simple. I'm not going to blame him. It was truly an accident. And I'm going to be much more aware of my blind sides.
Yeah.
And I started recognizing not only my physical, visual blindsidedness. Here I am, because when I'm training, I'm full on. I can see everything around me. But because I was in a pretty chill mood coming onto the mat, we hadn't started class yet, I was totally blindsided. So I asked myself, where am I blindsided in life, in my relationships? Where am I blindsided in my business? Where am I not looking, you know, to cross the T's and dot the I's? Where is my intuition telling me I need to bring more presence, more awareness, more discernment, but perhaps I'm not looking at it enough because, and I may be open to being blindsided again. So I believe that every physical victory, every physical practice is a metaphor to extrapolate and to bring it into our everyday lives. And when we do that, we become a true warrior. We become a sage. A warrior is a person of action, commitment, person of character and quality that stands for something, is going for a higher ideal. They're trying to evolve themselves. And the sage is the one within ourselves which is already happy, transcendent. We're looking at the world from a place of humor, knowing, hey, we're going to die anyways. We might as well make the best contribution on this planet rather than suck it dry before we die, you know?
Yeah, you know, I want the listener to understand this. What Satyan is saying right now is you can be your own coach. You have this sage within you. It's a matter of so what he's doing, what you're doing, Satyan, is you're doing what I call in my program. I have a program called Discover Your Path, and I have a part of that. It's based on this principle of what I call the productive pause. You know, a pause. When you hit the pause button, a lot of times you think, you know, you've got to stop what you're doing, and it's going to take longer to do what you're trying to do. But it's actually the opposite. You know, it's this short period of focused reflection on specific questions that lead to clarity and peace of mind. And that's what you're doing. So you're hitting the pause button before you step on the mat, and you're figuring out what you want to learn, and then you're experiencing practice, you're experiencing competition, and then you come off and you figure out, you know, what can I learn from this? And you're journaling, and it's so important. I get so much value from journaling and so much clarity from journaling. And we can all learn from our experiences, and we can all kind of be our own coach. We all need that coach. You know, when we were athletes, when we were competing, we had a coach who could guide us, who could pick us up and dust us off when we fail or put us back on the right track. And we don't have a coach. Most people don't have a coach in their lives, which, you know, I think most people should have a coach or at least a mentor or a mastermind group. But you can actually be your own coach in a situation like you're talking about there, Satyan. So I appreciate that. That's a great, great lesson.
Yeah, thank you, brother. It's, you know, that's one of the things we can do. You know, that's the whole philosophy that comes from the Eastern forms of martial arts is meditation. And meditation is very simply just what we talked about, taking the time to pause the busyness of our mind, the busyness of our day, and to reflect and to allow our inner intuition, our awareness, our good sense to come up, and gives us an opportunity to listen to it and to follow it. Because I have to say that the best guidance that we have, that I've found, that I've discovered in myself, is the guidance I have for myself that comes up from within myself. So as warriors, I think we all have to recognize, embrace, and claim the fact that we do have a power of good, a power of contribution, a power to make a difference. And, you know, the base that you gentlemen, and whoever is here, all of you, the base that you have in wrestling is a great base to be an example and to support the world in a bigger way. We don't end up being warriors because for no reason. We developed this art. We cultivated ourselves. We made ourselves strong, fast, lean, intentional. And we took all this energy in our body and we directed it. If you can do that in wrestling, imagine what you can do with every other area of your life, your faith, your finances, your family, philanthropy, your sexual life. You can master anything that you want, really.
Yeah, geez. I mean, great points. I mean, you know, we learn these great lessons, and we always talk about these lessons that you learn, in wrestling and other sports, and, you know, taking those and extrapolating those lessons into your life are so important. I think a lot of coaches, a lot of sports coaches don't do that enough, and some do. And to be honest, you know, a lot of the championship coaches that you come across, they do, you know, they're coaching the human, the person, to make good decisions, to live their life right, socially, academically, financially, et cetera. And those good decisions that they make, they carry over to athletics. But if you just teach the sport, you know, the physical motions, those things don't necessarily translate over to real life. So I think I think what you're pointing out there is really important for people to understand, for the listener to understand.
Right on.
And you teach about what makes great people tick. I mean, what does make great people tick? I mean, are they thinking about things differently? Are they are they going about their days and lives differently? I mean, what makes great people tick?
Well, one of the things that I've discovered, there's a few elements, but one of the things that's in every great person is a capacity to create a strong vision for themselves. And the way I start looking at creating a strong vision is, these F's I've talked about that one of my mentors taught me: faith, family, finance, fitness, and fun. And, the ones who have made it in powerful ways, they always felt into this. How would I like to create my family life? How would I like to create my love life? How would I have loved to experience connection and faith to a higher principle, to myself, to the great mystery? How, they cultivated it. They also looked at what vision they had for their finances. How well did they want to do in life? What were the experiences that they wished to gain in their life and go out and make it happen? So faith, family, finance, fitness, and fun, to me, are the great visioning tools that we have. So what I recommend for all of us is to sit down and to think about this, to feel into it. Not what other people tell you think you should do, but what would really inspire and make you come alive with those F's, with faith, family, finance, fitness. That's one of the things great people do. They don't settle for anything less. They know that they can have that. In their heart of hearts, they yearn for that, and there is simply no other option. They're going to make it happen in some way.
And again, I'll reference the course that I teach. It's Discover Your Path. And the first step of that is understanding what's important to you. And it's interesting you point out those five F's. And four of those five are my values that I've boiled it down to. And I've come up with the words that start with F just to make it more memorable for myself. But faith, family, fit, and fun are my four values, key core values. And to hear those five that you put together, it's really interesting. Talking about very successful people. Now,
here's the paradox. There's one other thing I want to say about these successful people and ones who really made it that I've had the opportunity to coach. So they have this intentional strength. But here's the paradox. They also know how to lower the importance of the very goal that they're going after. They know how to dial back the testosterone. They know how to be strong in their intention, but relaxed from within, so they're not burning themselves out in the long run. They have in Chinese, it's called they're in the Tao of things. They're intentional, but they're relaxed. They're not overly worked up, but they're strong, and they get far. They just get so far ahead without struggle and strain. So that's the other quality, is the lowering of the importance, having a chill attitude, recognizing there's humor in everything around every corner, and bringing humor into an experience that perhaps is devoid of humor. That's also a phenomenal trait of the ultra successful.
When I was competing, I remember I read an article by Ken Sherto, and he said the word he used was relaxed intensity is the sort of best focused mindset. I mean, is that what you're talking about? I mean, look at really successful people. Are they focused on the process as opposed to the outcome? Is that why they're able to do that? Or talk about that more, because that's a really interesting concept.
Yes, it's relaxed intensity. Exactly. And it's the principle of, you have a goal. So let's say I have a goal that I want to have a new car. And I've priced the car out at $150,000, let's say.
Nice car. I like that.
It's a nice car, okay? So we're looking for this $150,000 car that we want to attain. And if I push, then I'll have it. But I may go to 10 people, 20 people. I may be pushing really hard at my sales, my work, my business, whatever I need to do to make the extra income or to save income from somewhere else and put it over here, whatever I need to wheel, deal, and manage, I need to do. Yet if I want it so bad with such intensity, what happens is that drive creates all types of balancing forces in other areas of your life. So for example, when I'm coaching leaders, I've noticed a common thing is that their drive in business and success has, for most of them, cost them affinity, connection, and good years with their children and their partners.
Yeah, yeah. You see it all the time. Yeah, that makes sense.
All right.
So it's a balance you have to strike.
Exactly. So you need to lower the crazy importance in one area so that you relax enough, you're calm enough, you recognize the humor in your excessive pushing. And then paradoxically, here's the paradox. I found that the universe responds in a very interesting way. The thing that you want comes to you with more clarity, with more ease, and more opportunities come by your way to attain that very goal by the very fact that you lowered the importance and you started relaxing at the same time with your breath, your mindset. But you still maintain that powerful intention in the background. So it's a paradox. It's the same as in wrestling. I'm sure there's moments where you have to be totally relaxed like a cat, and then you got to also explode, right? You got to have, and the more skillful you are, the more you're able to be totally relaxed and go to the other extreme at the same from there. Correct?
Sure, absolutely. My senior year in college, you know, I had a goal of being an All-American, actually a national champion for years, and I pushed and I didn't get there. Now it's my senior year. I'm going into my senior year, and I say this in my TED talk, you know, I couldn't run more miles. I couldn't lift more weights. I couldn't watch more film. There's just not enough hours in the day. I literally couldn't do anything more to get any better. I could only, you know, work smarter maybe, but I think felt like I was pretty on track there too. But I finally let go. It was a psychological thing. I finally let go of the goal and said, I'm just going to, whatever happens, happens. You know, I'm going to put in everything I've got. And at the end of the day, at the end of the season, at the end of my career, whatever happens, happens. And I'm going to be satisfied with that, with the effort and with the process. And finally, you know, once I let go, I finally got there. I had more fun competing that year than probably any other time in my 17-year competitive career. And I had the most successful year of my life as well. So it is interesting when you let go of that and you focus on, you know, when you focus on balance. You know, I interviewed a 3-star admiral in the Navy. He actually had just taken over. I interviewed him. He was in Bahrain when I interviewed him on one of the episodes here. I don't remember the episode number. It was right around 10 or 15 for the listener if you're looking for it. But he talked about, hey, this guy, he was in charge of the Navy's 5th Fleet. He had just gotten confirmed by the Congress for his 3rd star.
Wow.
And he was talking about his life and the balance that he has. And he talked about the importance of faith in his life. He talked about how he carves out time and always puts his family first. And he talked about fitness, you know, 3 of your F's right there. You know, he works out every day. And we didn't talk about finances or fun, but I'm sure if we did, I wouldn't be surprised. Knowing him the way I do, he's a personal friend. Knowing him the way I do, I think that those would be key components for his balanced life as well. I mean, this guy's got an immense amount of pressure on on what he does.
Responsibility beyond
huge.
Imagine.
Yeah. Yes. And it's really interesting. You know, these 5 F's are really, they're strong themes throughout all the people that I interview, all the successful people that I interviewed. I mean, do you see those things you work with these leaders and successful CEOs. I mean, it sounds like those are pretty common traits among those folks as well.
Well, yeah. Paradoxically, no. It, and that's where my work comes in. So on the outward, for many of them, when they start, they're out of balance, but they come to recognize through the experience of it. Basically, I'm their coach, right? I make sure, you know, these are strong individuals, and sometimes they need another strong individual to say, hey, you're compromising yourself here. Your family life sucks here. Your body's going to break down.
Yeah.
Brother, you need to get yourself into equilibrium. You know, you need to get yourself into some reality. Hey, stop all that stuff. And here, we're going to schedule in date nights with your wife, weekends off with you, whatever needs to happen.
Yeah.
Then once that discipline, that equilibrium has been established, then it's like, how come I never lived like this before? I thought that I had to push, when in fact I needed to balance and come into equilibrium. Then my true strengths come to power, my full spectrum, because I'm happy all around. I'm not just happy for one goal. So I think it's a journey for most successful people to go from extreme exertion to this flowering of equilibrium. And that journey is a beautiful journey. If we accept it rather than fight it, then we'll be able to flow with the naturalness of life rather than fight the years that are coming, you know?
So my listeners are sitting there, they're running on the treadmill or they're driving in their car, and they're saying, okay, this all sounds great. It sounds important. I understand. I get it. What do I do? What's the next step? They like to have action items, actionable steps. And what can they do in the, say, in the next 24 to 48 hours, something concrete that they can do? I mean, maybe you already said it. Maybe it's journaling. Maybe it's meditation. Maybe it's something else. I mean, what can they do? What kind of action can they take immediately to start seeing, to start moving in that more balanced direction?
The immediate thing you could do is to take the stress off, is to take a look at what are the three things that you're fretting about the most. The three things that you have the most worry, tension, upset, problem, anger with, something like that, right? Take three things and you write them down. Number one, number two, number three, I'm worried about this. I'm angry at this person. I'm scared I'm not going to make this happen, whatever it is. You write them down. You look at them. And here's the thing. You look at why have you made this important to you? What are you not getting if this is not happening? And then when you look at it, you want to look at those things that are worrying you from the viewpoint of, I've given too much importance to something here. And that's why I'm upset. What have I given too much importance to? When you ask yourself that, why have I invested so much importance on this that I'm getting pissed off, I'm getting worried, I'm getting restless, I'm getting a lack of sleep happening, I'm getting irritable. I'm putting too much emphasis on something I find way too important. What is that? That's the inner investigation you got to do. That's the Sherlock Holmes you got to do with yourself. And when you find that, the thing to do as a wise person is to chill, is to remember, and here's the warrior sage principle, okay? To find and to maintain your purpose and clarity. This is the thing to do. You remember that you're going to die eventually, sooner or later.
Yeah, I believe the death rate's still hovering somewhere around 100%.
It's still hovering around there, right? So what must you do in order to live, love, and die completely without regret? What must you do to live, love, and die completely without regret today when you look at those three things, those three worries, tensions, or rough spots in your life? And that should give you some real motivation and some contrast to go, you know what? There's deeper things in life here that I need to attend to. I've invested far more importance in these things than I should have or I need to. And I'm going to start letting that go. I'm going to start like just letting those reins go and not make it so important. That's the thing you can do. And when you do that, you'll start orienting yourself around a deeper principle, and a new life force will start to grow inside of you. It's very, very powerful.
Yeah, I do some similar things, and not exactly that. I'm going to write this process down for the listener, and I can promise you, if you do this, and I'm looking forward to it, I'm going to follow this step by step, exactly what you said, and I'm looking. I know it's going to bring some breakthroughs mentally and psychologically. This is huge. So probably maybe 5% of the listeners are going to do this. You, the listener listening to this right now, I want you to do this. I want you to take action, download The action plan is going to be at jimharshaw.net/37. That's jimharshaw.net/37. You can download the action plan, follow the steps and the questions that he just said, that Satyan just said, and I guarantee you're going to have a breakthrough. So that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Now, is this a little bit about what you teach in the Accelerated Evolution Academy? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, certainly. I train coaches, leaders, management, physicians, therapists. What I do is I train them in very powerful mental and emotional and psychological techniques to up anyone's game. So the same things that I do to take CEOs and their companies from a few million to 100 million or help them go from unhealthy to world-class athlete, or, you know, have them go from a place of challenge relationship to a place of deep love and connection with their family and like hot connected sex, you know, all these principles on really how I do that, how I work with people. I train other coaches, leaders, thought leaders in this. And my training is under Accelerated Evolution Academy. And we've trained some of the most prominent coaches, leaders anywhere, everywhere in so many sectors, from military to athletics to business coaches, life coaches, and politicians, you name it, all types of people. So it's a very fast method for those who want to learn something that they can utilize for themselves. They want to utilize and work with other leaders and make a difference in the world. It's a very potent, powerful, and fast and effective methodology.
And for the listener, I'll share the website, and that's acceleratedevolutionacademy.com. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay, and I'll share that in the show notes and the action plan as well at jimharshaw.net/37. So you can check that out and look more into that if you're interested. And last question, Satyan, that I know a lot of my listeners won't let me off the hook if I ask this. One book or one resource that you can recommend that our listeners take a look at?
Oh, wow.
You got, you know, two or three. You can list off two or three if that's easier.
I'll give you one of my favorite books of all time, specifically for men. It's really excellent for men who have a warrior bent to them, have a warrior sage bent to them. And it's called The Way of the Superior Man. And the author is David Deida, D-E-I-D-A. And the book, again, is called The Way of the Superior Man. And David has been a teacher and a mentor of mine for many years. And this book is a hot bestseller for conscious and forward-thinking men. Excellent book.
Great. And so I'll have a link. I'll include that in the action plan as well for the listener. So, Satyan, I appreciate you making time. I know you're a busy guy, so I appreciate you making time to come on the show. You got any parting thoughts or parting recommendations for us?
Yeah, you know, we covered a lot of bases today. And as, you know, you guys who are listening here, everyone who's listening here has got a strong base, a physical, mental, emotional base in your life. My challenge to you and my invitation to you is to, wherever you are in life, to know your roots and to re-evoke them, and to know that you are a warrior, a true warrior of the heart, true sage. You have wisdom, and that you have a gift to give. And if you're not giving it, today's the first day to start really ramping it up, finding out what it is and give it. If you already are giving your gift, challenge yourself. Is there anywhere that you're holding yourself back? And if you are, make today the day that you commit to the full offering of your gift. And that's my loving challenge to all the good gentlemen out there.
Awesome. Love it. I'm fired up, Satyan. I appreciate you sharing that. And for the listener, again, jimharshaw.net/37 to get the action plan, the quotes, the links, the resources to everything we talked about in this show. And until next time, I urge you to take the time to get clear on your goals and embrace failure as a stepping stone on your path to success.